Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this endeavor into Transformers fandom is...
JFU and Mike.
Yes, and this is... Well, this is one of the last episodes of 2020.
Yes, and this show has not been 2020, unlike the other show.
No, because unlike the other one, there's plenty of good things going on in this universe, or this side of things. And so without further ado, we have some Transformers Earthrise information. We've got some Kingdom toy info. We've got a convention info, as well as Transformers Red. So I think we will go to Transformers Earthrise first.
Yes.
How much are you looking forward to this?
As of this recording, we are 9 days away from this show, and I am really, really interested to see what they do and how they do it. I know a lot of people out there are iffy on this show. I know a lot of people love it. I know there are a lot, like, there's people on all sides, and it's okay. It's fine. Like, nobody's... Oh, fuck it. Nobody's opinion can be wrong. We're all assholes. You can't have a wrong opinion. You just can't.
I feel like we should have that Spaceballs clip.
You get it. I'll put it in.
By?
Yeah. It's wall-to-wall proctologists is what it is.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Like, okay, again, I reference this almost every podcast you and I do. I did an episode with a friend of mine of Geekcast Radio, Tom DJ, where he has this modern fandom manifesto, and it's this set of like logical common sense rules of how to act within a fandom. And everyone's opinion should be their own, and it should be respected to the point of, oh, you love this? Great. It's not for me, but I'm happy that you're enjoying it, kind of thing. And some of these fans, man, like...
And to be frank, we have been them before.
We have, and we're learning, and we're trying to...
We're rescinding that stupidity, and we're just like, you know what? It's not for us, but, you know, they're keeping it alive.
Yeah.
Because eventually it will come full circle. There will be one that we enjoy again, like this.
Right. For the most part. And I did enjoy Cyberverse. I thought it was a decent show, even though it's a short-form show.
It was better than RID.
Both of them? Yeah, I'd have to go back to...
Well, RID was the continuation of Transformers Prime.
Right. I remember. I'm saying I would have to go back to that to really fully explore and remember it.
But that being said, aside from the really, really slow talking because it sounds darker... That's really my only gripe, and I blame that on the voice director more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
The voice direction would honestly be where it's at, because it's not like they can't speed up the visual. It's a very easy thing to do in Adobe Premiere, or whatever they're using to export it. They could speed it up easily. Yeah. It's just, I feel like that's the majority of the problem, is the vocals are too slow. Like, they've tried something terrible to stretch these episodes out to be longer. But it's not that they aren't good.
Mm-hmm.
And I do get that they lack some of the storytelling, that, like, you know, I mean, yes, Beast Wars is dated, but the storylines are very intricate, very, well written. Even if the episode sucks, it's still very well done. Whereas I feel like this could have been sped up a little bit more. And some of the episodes, like in the initial trilogy of this Siege, I felt like you could have even made an episode shorter by cutting some of the stuff out, but it wasn't that it was bad. And I did love seeing them in the CGI. As well as some, you know, in this particular time that they were covering, we've never honestly gotten much in the way of a concrete storyline, kind of filtering it out. Yes, we've gotten various iterations and different comic universes, whether it be Marvel, IDW, Dreamwave. And then we've gotten various ones in, you know, the Marvel UK. We've gotten, you know, Transformers Prime. We've gotten video games. We've got, so, I mean, we've had all different iterations of it, and none of them really, really fleshed it out as well as this. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Earthrise is, because honestly, like, they're not, it's not going to wrap itself up in a nice little bow in this. It's going to definitely be kind of a pain, as they're going to deal with these, I forget what the third faction is.
Because
I mean, you've got Autobots, Decepticons, and you've got the ones that are basically clones of everybody else. Yeah, they're the crap.
It's the machine faction. It's what the hell is it called? God, it's gonna drive me nuts.
So, anyways, they've got, you know, on this other poster, like, because on one poster they have, you know, the Nemesis, they've got the Ark, they've got Prime, Bumblebee, Wheeljack, and RC. At least it appears to be. Then on the other one, they've got, you know, the Nemesis, they've got Soundwave, Megatron, Starscream, Barricade, who looks like Depth Charge in the photo. And then the other one, you get like a damaged Cybertron, you get a Quintesson, you get the Ark, you get this other ship that's the machine army, you get this Bumblebee clone, this Wheeljack clone, and then you get this other guy that's the Machine Wars Soundwave toy, basically. Because you can definitely tell they're, you know, cherry picking from various season or series and saying, hey, this toy could actually be a character. Even if it's not fully fleshed out, it works. So I don't know. I think he's playing Double Dealer or something like that. But regardless, like, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it. I'm hoping that the voice direction is a little bit better in this one. But again, this is another one of those, you know, periods of time that you never really heard about.
Exactly. Somebody complained about, and this was on that first poster post, the poster of Prime and Bumblebee and the Ark and all of that. So that first poster post on the Transformers Facebook page, somebody had commented where they're like, I wish more could have been done with Siege. I wish more could have been done with that. You know, as they're basically trying to say that Siege was the only part of the series kind of thing. And I didn't reply to this person. I just put a general comment on the thing. And what's it's so funny to me that my comment comes up as one of the most relevant. I love how people complain about Transformers War for Cybertron Siege as if it was the only part of the War for Cybertron trilogy. People baffle me at times. The creators have said there are three chapters. Each chapter is six episodes. There's only so much you can put into six episodes. And honestly, they put, like you said to me, I think you said it off air, you might have said it a few minutes ago, that they could have cut by one episode, like have five instead of six. But seriously, they put so much into those first six episodes. And just from the trailers and the teasers I've seen of Earthrise, it seems like they're doing that again. They're putting so much into it. And we don't know how the story is going to play out until we actually see it in 9 days.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is they put so much in there. That's why I felt like they could have cut some. However, if they were to, you know, if they had enough exposition and enough storytelling and enough reason to, they could technically stretch it to like a 10 episode season and or 8 episodes like The Mandalorian. And, you know, so, I mean, in that regard, like, I kind of wish they would have gone a little bit longer. But again, you know, it's neither here nor there. But again, I feel like it could have been better. I feel like there's a couple of hangups, and I'm not blaming it totally on the story. Like, I'm blaming it more so on the voice direction territory of why this is catching so much flack. It's because of the, like I said, the almost Western slow talk that they've given every actor in the show. And it's not that they don't try. It's that that's what they're told to do. And so, like, yeah, you have some good ones. You have like Wheeljack, that's pretty good. You have Prime, that's pretty decent. You have some of the other Autobots. But most of the Decepticons, like, I feel like some of them kind of pale in comparison to like their other versions. And it's not just because the voices aren't the same actors. Like, and I get that they're going non-union and they're trying to get people that sound, or in some cases don't sound anything like their character, like Megatron, right, for instance. But, and I'm not knocking Frank Todaro, because I know he's doing, or not Frank Todaro.
He's doing Starscream.
He does great at that, but I'm not knocking, I forget who's doing Megatron.
Jason Marnocha.
Yeah, Jason Marnocha. He's doing great for what he's got. And plus, I don't dislike the voice.
No, I think he's doing it really well. I think, you know,
for some of the original ones, I think that's one of the best original ones that I've heard that gives it a new spin without sounding like a carbon copy.
Mm-hmm. If I was to rate, because there are six episodes in Siege, if I was to rate my top six favorite Megatron voices, for me personally, Prime is number one, Prime Welker. Beast Wars Megatron is second. Jason is third. Jason from War for Cybertron is third. And then G1 Frank is fourth. After that, Corey Burton from Animated, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree with your top five. Other than Beast Wars.
I mean, obviously you would put Beast Wars Megatron as number one.
But it's also, he played Beast Machines Megatron, and I feel like he took it up another level. So, but it wasn't new character. It wasn't a new character. It was a continuation. Right. So essentially, that's darker. The only reason I would bump him one step ahead of Frank is because he got that extra series to play on it. True. Whereas Frank didn't. And
I mean, Frank got a chance. You know, Frank had three seasons of Prime. He had, you know, two full seasons of G1. And the reason why I put Prime over G1...
But they're two different.
They are, but it's the same. So, from what I've read and heard Frank say specifically, G1 Megatron was a higher register for him. It was hurting his voice more. And then Prime Megatron, he just kind of reversed it and made it a lower register. To me, it's the same. It's not the same character, but it's the same vocal inflections from G1 to Prime.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And that's the only reason why that Prime version of Frank's Megatron gets higher for me than G1, because he improved upon his own character.
Yeah. In that regard, I see that too, but you know, and that's I mean, as much as people knock the voice acting, like, I don't hate it enough to not watch it at this point. We still have Earthrise coming, and then that remains to be seen what they do with the story, what they do with the characters, what they do with the vocals. And then we have Kingdom, and that's where things I feel are going to get either extreme hate or extreme love. And it's not just from me. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling, because people are very critical over what we've gotten so far.
Right.
The way the Beast Wars characters are, they're so dynamically different in a variety of ways, because they use a lot of their animal inflections. You know, Megatron's very snakish, you know, dinosaur. You get, you know, Dinobot, who's got the and, you know, various other characters that have various either growls or sounds that go with them. I feel like if they don't capture the essence of the character and have it as closely possible sounding like them, I feel like they're going to get dragged through the dirt. Something terrible for Kingdom. And I know they're recording it or at least doing the animation for it, because
FJ DeSanto shared a picture of it.
Yeah, he shared a picture of it at the WB Studios, which I believe WB owns Rooster Teeth.
I don't remember.
So anyways, I'm optimistic for the next two. Like, I'm optimistic for the storyline specifically of Kingdom and Earthrise. I'm not optimistic on the Beast Wars characters in Kingdom. I have no ill feeling on Earthrise because I have no idea what to expect. It's like a totally different universe, basically, like here that they're playing in, and so I have no idea what to expect. Kingdom, I know that it's kind of playing off of that original idea of bringing G1 and Beast Wars together in season 4 of Beast Wars that never happened.
Yeah, it's basically time travel.
Yeah, it's time travel. So, but it's doing time travel in this essence. But in the original Beast Wars, they were planning on bringing the the Autobots and Decepticons into the Beast Wars, and having, you know, all of the characters wake up and you know, kind of join in the battle. So essentially Kingdom is getting to play in that playground that we've never had before, which that's what excites me about it more than anything else. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing it, and of course we'll review it when it comes out. I do find it odd that the Ark looks like a weirdly shaped duck on the poster. I just noticed it just now. Like, it looks like an Autobot symbol, but it looks like a duck. It's really weird. It just came to me, so that's why it popped up in conversation. But yeah, so I mean, I'm excited for it and in some of the direction it's going. I'm loving this new generation of figures that are coming out with the extensive detail. Some of them do look cheaper than stuff we've gotten in the last 10 years because of the different ball joint. Like, they don't necessarily use ball joints. They use like click joints now on a lot of stuff, or a weird hinge system that it's not quite the same as the ball joints. Like, the smaller they are, the more they use the ball joints. The bigger they are, they've gone to this whole click actuator thing. Which again I find strange, but I think it's because the sheer weight of the figure, it will likely hold up better in the grand scheme of things, but it also depends on how well their feet and their legs are formed. I've discovered. But speaking of toys,
yes,
we should go to the Kingdom toys that have been announced.
Okay.
Have you seen the Air Razor figure?
Yes, I have.
That looks spectacular compared to the original figure. Not only is it larger, it's a deluxe this time instead of a basic. So they're able to pack in more detail, but they also give her some of the colorations, the face, the arm bullets that Air Razor had in the animated series, which I find really cool, to be honest, that she's finally gotten a decent figure.
Yeah, it looks so cool.
It seriously has me tempted to get it because it's so well put together.
I'm looking at it now. Wow, yeah, it looks so good.
Yeah, just the level of detail, like it puts the original toy to shame. I feel like if you could take certain like masterpiece figures and then you take some of the Kingdom figures, I feel like you could have like whole full quality line of these beast figures, at least pre-transmetal.
Then
of course you get Dinobot.
Oh, of course
you do. And
I like his robot mode more than his dino mode, but that's just because
his dino mode, I mean, it always shows Robo Kibble.
Yeah.
No matter which figure it is. And I got the classics one a while back, like the 30th anniversary, Thrilling 30. And it was really good. But the dinosaur modes always are terrible. Now this being said, you know, the dino mode of the masterpiece, of course, looks spectacular and like the show. But the masterpiece of Dinobot does look better than this. However, I will say, for an affordable price point, this Dinobot is probably, like, if you're just wanting him in robot mode, this is probably the closest you're going to get to the masterpiece and have it look this good. The head, for the first time ever, actually looks like Dinobot.
Yeah, it does.
Because they made him a Voyager. He's not a deluxe like he's been all along.
Yeah.
Some of the colorations, like, I do feel like they cheaped out on some of the color on these figures, compared to, because like his legs are orange and there's like no silver on them, like there would have been in the show or in the masterpiece. And so, I mean, in some of those regards, I feel like they cheaped out in some areas, but again, I mean, what can you do? It's still a decently priced and well put together figure. But yeah, so I really like that. And then, of course, a little new tidbit here. They dropped EAN numbers for a Kingdom Voyager class Rhinox and Tigatron. There's no pictures of them yet, but
I'm sure the pictures will be coming soon.
Yeah, it has me excited for it because, I mean, now we've had Primal, we've had Cheetor, we've had Rat Trap, we've had Dinobot, we've had Megatron, we've had Black Arachnia. Now we've got Rhinox and Tigatron joining the fray, mm-hmm. along with Airazor and everything. So that leaves, we just need to hear about either a Scorponok, a Pterosaur, or a Waspinator to join mm-hmm. the fray. The only one that I've not seen any, like, no hints about him actually showing up is Pterosaur.
Hmm.
Which is unfortunate if they don't use him. Because I feel like, or Tarantulas either. Because I feel like if they're trying to do this whole time travel thing, and with the state of where they're at right now, with the Maximal side is fully decked out, which means Megatron's side is sorely lacking.
It's gonna be interesting to see who they bring in and how they bring them in.
We're getting season one of Beast Wars characters.
Pretty much, yeah.
As long as they all show up. Because I've not seen any confirmation over Scorponok, Pterosaur, or Tarantulas. Like, Waspinator is kind of a given.
True.
He'll show up.
I mean,
like, yeah. So I'm really hoping that they all come in there, but I'm hoping that they get good voice actors for these. I know I've obviously probably missed my window, although it would still be great. I can do Waspinator. I can do Megatron. Get Chris McFeely as Dinobot and, you know, various other people that were in Dark Glass, and they'll be all set. Like, I forget what his name is. The dude played the Maximal computer, like, spot on. Sounds just like Ian James Corlett. It was disturbingly similar. And then, funny enough, he didn't audition for Cheetor when we did it years ago. So I'm, you know, obviously a huge Beast Wars fan. So, oh, that leaves out Inferno. We don't have Inferno either for the Predacon side.
Nope.
But we've got until June before we know everything anyway of who's going to be where. But and it's possible they may not have Inferno or Inferno was the last Predacon anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible they may not go that route. I'm just
excited for it. Like, I know you're worried about the voices and everything else, and you've told me off air, and I'm only bringing this up because it's part of the conversation. You're like, I will denounce Transformers forever if Megatron is bad. And I'm like, calm down. There have been bad Optimus Primes before, and I'm still here.
Yeah, but I feel like Prime is kind of like that one that everybody does a decent impression of. I feel like Beast Wars Megatron people just like, even like there's, I've heard Waspinators, I've heard Rat Traps, I've heard various other like Beast Wars characters, and it's very difficult to hear one that actually sounds good of any of them. So, I mean, once in a blue moon, you'll find somebody that does a decent, like I've at a TFCon, we found a good Quick Strike voice, but you know, like I can do Tarantulas. He's not good, but I can do him.
Yeah.
I can do Tigertron, or not Tigertron, Rhinox too. It's not good, but I can do it. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to hear myself do those roles, like, just because they're so poor by comparison. Yeah. So again, like I said, I'm not denouncing it. I'm just saying if the Beast voices are terrible, I will not watch the rest of it.
You have to, because we have to cover it on this podcast.
Oh, you know, I'll watch it once. I'll never watch it again. That is what the equivalent of what will happen.
See, the thing for me, and I've said this for years, I have to watch things 2 or 3 or 4 times. The first time I watch it to enjoy it, to get the story, to get my initial thoughts. The second time I might be watching it to catch anything I missed and also to record audio. Third time might be to actually take full notes. And after that, in case anything I missed, would be the fourth time. But yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from. Just, I mean, that was like me way back when Neil Kaplan was the voice of Optimus. Thank God I was a kid back then and I had other things that could preoccupy my time.
What's sad is he followed us for a time.
Oh, and he probably listened to one of the shows where I badmouthed him.
Yeah,
I wasn't bad mouthing him specifically. I just don't like his Optimus voice. Just like you don't like certain Megatron voices, or you're worried about, you know, how Megatron.
I'm pretty decent with most of them, but yeah, I mean, there's some iterations that are pretty bad of a lot of characters.
I'm sure we have a lot of people seeing red, so let's talk about the robot enhanced designs.
Ooh. I did see that they're going to have a Cheetor.
Yes.
Which I love the idea, because I would get all the Beast Wars characters. Because I don't care if they transform. As long as they look like they're supposed to look, I don't care.
So for those that, and I'm sure most people that are listening to this know this, the Robot Enhanced Design series of Transformers from Hasbro is non-transformable figures. The images I'm looking at is Bumblebee. We have a Starscream. I don't know why Devastator's in this post, because it doesn't look
with
like
Combiner Wars.
Right. I understand that, but it doesn't look like it's a red version. It looks like that's a transformable version of Devastator. Anyway, yeah. Like if I was like, I'm too old to be transforming these things. I spend all my time editing podcasts now, not playing with toys. And this is coming from a guy who collects Funko Pops, but I only ever take those out of the box to take pictures of them, and then they go right back in the box. But I would so display these robot enhanced design figures, because they're so, so cool. I can't wait to see more of these.
Yeah, I'm definitely stoked to see what they do with them as far as future figures. Just because, again, they just, you know, they look pretty blasted close, and I just, and honestly, like when I build stuff, you know, I'm looking at the red design of Cheetor and RC from Prime, and the Cheetor, he's got the legs on his back like he would in Beast Wars. His body looks just like it would. The colors are a little off. He's got like a little bit of gold stuff like going on with his head and his arms and his, you know, the panels on his legs. It almost looks kind of evil in his face a little bit. But I mean, for the most part, like it looks much better than the transformable versions of Cheetor, other than the Masterpiece. Like, cause I've never seen a decent looking Cheetor.
Yeah.
And Rat Trap's kind of hard to do too. So like, I mean, some of those type characters are really hard for them to do. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't look terrible. I would I would definitely rather have something like that than have to worry about transforming it.
Right. Yeah.
And they're action masters, but they're acceptable because they're not big giant bricks.
Yep.
Although I wish the movie Scourge, like, I would be fine if he was just, you know, robot mode, because I want the studio series Scourge too. Anyways, I think it's funny that they've got core versions of the G1 characters, though.
Yeah, it's kind of silly.
Because it's like, in retrospect, like, if they, you know, I get why they're making them smaller just so they can sell them, and they're kind of a footnote of the Kingdom line. They're not really, they're trying to sell a new version of the character without necessarily having to resell mm-hmm. the same toy. So I get it. But they're the thing that's funny about it is, like the core Megatron, for instance, he's got like his arm fusion cannon, and then on his other hand, he's got the Walther, you know, P-38 mm-hmm. that he turned yep. into in G1, which is funny. But I find it humorous that they're selling these, and they're all scaled smaller than the Beast Wars, when in Beast Wars they're supposed to be larger than the Beast Wars characters.
True.
I don't know. It's just a strange sizing thing, but I think that they're just trying to appeal to, you know,
everybody,
like, oh, I can't afford another $50 Megatron. So what's funny is some of the commenters are like, could you try using a mold that doesn't scream? I don't know how to draw a tank. And then another one says, so another Megatron that looks no different to the other variants in the War for Cybertron lines. Gotcha. And then a lot of, you know, is he holding himself? He has a minigun of himself. Someone is playing with themselves. LOL. Mm. So, and then there's like somebody did a meme of, it says, Hasbro Takara, you guys are awesome. You actually made Megatron into this meme. And there's a meme that says, it's got Masterpiece MP01 Prime playing with a miniaturized version. It says, there's nothing like playing with yourself.
Jesus.
People are hilarious. I love it. Memes for the win. So anyways, yeah. So that's pretty much all the Transformers news.
Yep.
That we've got.
We do know that the Beast Wars comic is coming issue is coming February 24th, 2021. So there you go, folks. 2021 is already off to a good start, because Transformers Beast Wars number one will be coming. I think I read this last time, but I could be wrong. Celebrating 25 years of Beast Wars in the future, the planet Cybertron belongs to the scientific-minded Maximals and the action-oriented Predacons, when a crew of Predacons led by the successor to Megatron's name steals the Golden Disk and the ship capable of traveling through time. It's up to Optimus Primal and his Maximal crew, Rattrap, Rhinox, Cheetor, and new character Nyx, to catch them. Brand new Beast Era begins in an oversized first issue. So far they've only got listed the first issue here on Comixology, so I'm sure next time we record an episode, which will be in the new year, most likely, because we have an episode coming out after this one, I'll have more info on Beast Wars 2021, celebrating 25 years of the series.
So, also, I find it funny that the timing lands of this. T-Formers has a link for the Making of Beast Wars Transformers documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got all these YouTube videos of, you know, the you know, making of, the crew interview with the interview or the animators and programmers, and the, you know, the test work, the animation lip sync and things like that. And then of course promoting that Shout Factory has the DVD series on sale for $19.99 at Best Buy. I still have mine.
Very cool.
I couldn't part with it.
Oh no.
I am looking forward to the Beast Wars Megatron Kingdom figure, just because it's the closest I'm going to get to a masterpiece, and it looks spectacular compared to every Megatron that's in my price point.
Yeah.
There's a couple of little mini gripes with it, but overall, like as far as coloration, but I'm not complaining for having an accessible version. Now, if I could get the masterpiece, I would ditch this in the heartbeat, but that's not in the cards. So
if
yeah,
you'd like to coordinate something for Steve's birthday next year, please email tfgandmike@gmail.com. All payment forms are accepted.
Masterpiece Megatron. I'll cry on the air. No.
I've done that before for more important things, but yeah. Anyway.
So
you have a convention you're going to be doing.
I do. Funny enough, Iacon Online is the name of the convention. Now the art is kind of funny because it has kind of like a basic vector based art. It's actually very unique and actually very cool. It's got almost kind of like a Mega Man X vibe to it. Not only in colors, but in the design, and you know, it's got like a seeker flying by. And this is Iacon Online, where all are one. And of course, so far they have some guest spotlights that were dropped today, actually. It's David Mariette.
Yep, he's one of the editors at IDW.
Yep. And writer, editor, done things like Transformers vs. Terminator, you know, Transformers, Sonic, etc. They've also got Flint Dilly.
Yep.
Having a panel. They've got Greg Berger having a panel.
Sweet.
And All Things Transformers having a panel.
Yeah.
We win.
I don't want all that, but
no. They're also going to have Artist Alley applications, you know, for Virtual Artist Alley. They're going to have cosplay contests and alterations and things like that. So they had a panel application process, and I was like, meh, let's see what happens. So I started filling it out, and it has, we need a variety of panels. Some panel ideas include games, toys, reviews, history of Transformers, characters, focused panels, fan fiction panels, how to draw Transformers, and more. And I was like, 25 years of Beast Wars. I was like, that's called a panel, and I totally forgot what the name that I picked for it was until like they emailed me with the acceptance. Because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I was like, the worst that can happen is they'll say no. So I sent myself on the ATTF messages, that I'd applied to it, and I, if I get it, it would be kind of cool. And since it's the 25th anniversary of Beast Wars, I said why Beast Wars was important for Transformers Rebirth and why it can be again 25 years later. I called the panel The Beast Unleashed, and then it got accepted. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then I was like, now I have to do an entire presentation. which isn't that far out of the realm. And so I had fun creating it, and then I spent like a while trying to find, like, I was recreating the Beast Wars logo and like this gold look, which was pretty neat. But I was like, if the panel, because I forgot that I named it The Beast Unleashed until I was like half done with some of the art, and then I was like, oh yeah, it's The Beast Unleashed. I was like, where did I put the new art for the pod art? Because I couldn't find it. And then I ended up finding it. I was like, okay, just copy paste the logo and then put the stuff on there. And then I was able to put All Things Transformers on it. So anyways, I'm presenting a panel. It will likely be pre-recorded because it's a weekend thing. And I start production on the audio drama series that I work for the very next day. So rather than have me be strung out, tired and everything else, I'm going to put on a game face and I'm going to record it. It'll be a video for their convention. I'll likely have it timed and recorded. And then have a nice little slideshow going, as well as conversation about, well, Beast Wars and why it's important for the Transformers Rebirth. And funny enough, how it's come back now to breathe revitalization into the franchise. Because it seems like we've gotten into that rut again where everything is G1 again.
Yeah, there was somebody that commented on one of the Transformers Facebook posts where it's like, I wish they would do a series. It's on one of the War for Cybertron posters. I forget which Earthrise poster it's on. I wish they would do a series that combines all styles of animation from G1, G2, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, animated prime. Like, I'm thinking to myself, there ain't no number of animation studios that Hasbro could afford, because they'd all have to do different, like they'd have to farm it out to like 17 different places to get all those styles. But I'm like, I love that people come up with these ideas, but some of these ideas are so damn harebrained it would never work. Because they part of their thing was like, oh, so that way we can appease all generations. And I'm like, it's like I've said on this show before, we all have our favorite parts of the Transformers lore, whether that's Beast Wars, whether that's G1, whether it's Animated Prime, whatever. They're all still there, even though there's not new episodes of Beast Wars. Well, I mean, not obviously. The original series, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, whatever you want to say. Those shows didn't go away. They're still on DVD. They're still on, I mean, I can go to Tubi right now and watch an episode of both series. Like, I mean, Some of these fans just act like the shows are gone and what they're replacing them with. They're not replacing them. They're creating new content.
Well, and they act entitled about it, which is worse.
And I know I used to do that. I'm not saying I never did that. I used to. But well, for the longest time now, I've had the opinion that, you know, everybody has something in Transformers for them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very particular as well over, you know, my stuff. I'm very like harebrained, like it's got to be this way type of thing. But that being said, like I can watch it and let it go, if that means anything. Like I can watch it with just a watcher's eye and just kind of forget about it. And then I'm like, oh, okay, that was decent. And then just never watch it again. Like, and just realize that's not my cup of tea. It's not something I'll ever revisit, but it was interesting. It was a different take.
That's like when we recorded the first episode of the new IDW universe. And I asked you off air after the fact, I said, are you still interested in doing this? Did you like it enough where you want to continue the story, or do you want me to find a different host to do the rest of the thing? And you're like, no, I like it enough and we'll figure it out from there, yada yada yada. At least you're willing to give things a try. I still see so many fans, and now it's on Twitter, Facebook, wherever, and it's like, oh no, I want this back, I want that back. You still have that, it's just not coming back in the way that it was there.
Well, it's like Star Trek, for instance, and I know this is a tangent, but Star Trek and Transformers have kind of had a little bit of a synergy between each other, you know, with Leonard Nimoy. So the funny thing is like, I absolutely do not like any of the modern Star Trek shows. I find them repulsive because they have poor writing and because the special effects are not up to par with stuff that came out 25-30 years ago.
Right.
namely, like when they're having a space battle, they copy paste the CGI instead of, like, back in the day they had physical models and somehow they blew them up on screen using mm-hmm. CGI without having to copy paste the same ship 50 right. times. So I mean, there's a lot of stuff in that regard where I feel like it's very lazy, and I hate it. The canon they can't seem to keep straight. Like, they have plot conveniences more than anything else. Like, it's a they hit the same beat every episode. There's no, like, variation, and it's mm-hmm. it's very pale version of Trek. So that being said, I hate all of the new series. Funny enough, the only one I like is the animated one, and that one was written by a guy that did a parody account of season 8 of TNG, and he's doing this show that actually is, funny enough, following canon. Even though it's poking fun at certain things, and it's doing it in almost a Rick and Morty style of, you know, Orville, you know, Family mm-hmm. Guy element, but it's more Star Trek than Picard or Discovery, which again I find to be blasphemous to the previous 5 series that came before it. But I'm still watching them because the name is attached to it. Mm-hmm. And because whether I like the series or not, it's still playing into the canon of the entire franchise.
Right.
And I watch all of the Transformers series, even if I don't like them. When it's all is said and done. Because again, it's following the same franchise. It's not in the same continuity like Star Trek is, but I watch it all. Same reason with Star Wars or anything else. And mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I love it anymore, like the new stuff. I still loathe it. I just watch it from the perspective of I have to, like, go in knowing that I don't like it, but I'm watching it for the canon's sake and just right. turning off my mind to the rest of it, because if I don't, it'll just irritate me to the point that I am just a rabid fanboy. So, and I say that because I'm on a podcast called Future Imperfect, and we're all rabid fanboys on there. I'm a little less critical than the other three on the panel, but they mostly say everything I'm thinking anyway, and so I don't have to say it. So I look like the good guy. So that being said, you know, when it comes to Transformers, like, there's usually it's an entire series that I dislike. Like, I hated the Machinima stuff because not only was it short, but it was just, it just wasn't my cup of tea. Like, I didn't mind the animation. I just disliked a lot of the back and forth that was going on in it.
I just wish the Machinima series would be put on Netflix so we can watch it in one streaming consciousness. Like,
they'll never do it because look at G.I. Joe Resolute years ago. Those were 5-minute clips. And when you put them all together, it was one great hour and, you know, like 10, 15 minute movie.
Right.
When separately, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's what happened with the Machinima series. And I think it was also a proof of concept for this. I think it was the demo reel to get this going, because once Machinima took the a dump and went under, because I believe FJ DeSanto was a part of that team too.
He was, yes.
So I feel like he was able to take some of what worked from that and bring it over to Rooster Teeth and Netflix and actually create a longer form. I mean, essentially, the Machinima series was basically, like, I think it was like 10 5-minute episodes or maybe 5-minute episodes. So it ended up being like two episodes. It was like two episodes of what we're getting now.
Right. Yeah.
So they were doing like this entire, like, they had 3 series of it, but it was like these entire plot lines, and they just, I didn't like any of them. I mean, I liked Primal when he showed up, but and then they had Ron Perlman instead of Gary Chalk. So, I mean, it's like, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It wasn't my cup of tea, but I definitely prefer the War for Cybertron series much more than that. Although I don't like the slow talking.
Yeah, I don't either.
Which, if you speed it up to 1.5 or 1.25 at least, they talk semi-normal and move semi-normal. Which sounds like that's all they really needed to do.
Yeah.
But I think that they had to stretch it to fit a certain time span.
Yeah, and you know what? The time span for the War for Cybertron stuff, like I said earlier in this episode, I feel like six, let's just call them 30-minute episodes, even though they're more like 22, but whatever. Six 30-minute episodes for three chapters, 18 total episodes. That's not what we used to get back in the day, but if Earthrise is anything like what Siege was with how much stuff they put into it, like, I'm excited. As far as the Machinima stuff goes, the only things that I remember really, really enjoying was seeing Shattered Glass Rodimus as Rodimus Uchronus, where he's black and purple, but it's basically a Shattered Glass BotCon homage. Where he's got the goatee and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Mark friggin' Hamill, Luke friggin' Skywalker, was a Transformers character. I never thought that would ever happen.
Yeah, I think he played the Fallen.
Megatronus is what
he played. The Fallen. They call him the Fallen in War Within of the old Dreamwave stuff. Right. That's where it originated. But yeah, I mean, he got to play a part in that, and that was great. So I don't dislike all of it, and they had like Jason David Frank playing, you know, in it as well, and mm-hmm. and so I mean that you had cool. you had a lot of fanboyisms in there, and so that was fun too. Like you had, you know, I know that like John Bailey, it was a dream to become Optimus Prime at some point. He got to actually do it for one of the seasons, which was cool. You know, even if he's not your cup of tea, like it was still cool from a fan perspective to get to actually play the role.
No, absolutely. And I sort of liked what he did, but I'm liking.
But then they went back, you know, they got Cullen and it worked out fine. I mean, that was. And then they killed him, so they didn't have to pay him anymore. But
that's right, kids. Every time Optimus Prime dies, it's so they don't have to pay Peter Cullen anymore.
Yep. It's so that they can get a cheaper actor.
That's the saddest thing I've ever.
Isn't it? Isn't it? well, I mean, that's why the War for Cybertron series has no, like you've got YouTubers, you've got other people online, like us. I mean, there's people a lot higher profile than us that are getting to play roles in this, or like non-union actors, and so I mean, it is what it is. Like I don't hate it. It's not bad. I fear for the Kingdom voice acting, but for the most part, like I definitely prefer this. I think that they should follow more the Mandalorian thought process on their episodes. Make them as long as they need to be.
Yeah. That's
true. Don't try to stretch them to a certain time limit. Like there were Mandalorian episodes that were 32 minutes and there were other ones that were like 52. And so it kind of like, you know, in this regard with the War for Cybertron, if you need 8 episodes to tell the story properly, you know, don't stretch the voices. Don't, you know, to drag them out, you know, just do what you can with it. Tell a good story. And if it needs to be longer, make it longer. If it needs to be shorter, make it shorter, but don't feel like you have to hit this particular mark.
Yeah.
Kind of like a podcast. Make it as long as it needs to be, not any longer.
Yeah, but the thing with the podcast is there are some people out there, as much as I love these people to death, that feel like, oh, we have to keep it to blah, blah, blah. If we go over this time, oh my God, this podcast is the longest podcast we've ever done on this podcast. It's like, no, guys, just talk. And when you're done talking, just close it out and like find a good ending point, and there you go. Like, next time on this show, Steve and I will be talking about Transformers Galaxies issues 5 and 6, which features Cliffjumper on a cliffhanger because he's a wannabe. And that'll be our last episode of 2020 for ATTF. And we'll come back in 2021 with Beast Wars number 1, most likely. I don't know, or we'll probably have other things
Out before, because they'll be the convention and... of course, after the convention comes out, I'll likely release the video of my panel on geekcastradio.com.
Cool.
I'll wait until after the convention because I don't want to, you know, obviously I want to be in the convention. So,
right. There you go.
But yeah. So, I mean, if people are interested in that, they can go to iacononline.wordpress.com.
And the link will be in the show notes as always.
As always. So I think that's about it for this episode.
It is. And I forgot we actually do have an episode. Hopefully if we can wrangle that weird Solo Mac person. We do have an episode. That's right, Solo Mac.
Is that a sandwich at McDonald's?
No, it's
a Solo Mac. Yeah. It's a one Mac.
Yeah, it's one Mac. It's not very big.
It's a Mac without the bun.
That's right. It's a Mac without the onions and the lettuce and the tomato, whatever. But with Optimus Solo, because Optimus Solo will be joining us for our Earthrise episode. You and I did the Siege episode. Optimus Solo will be joining us for Earthrise. So once we get that time frame locked down, because, man, I'm telling you, December 30th, I hopefully will... Between the time the second chapter releases on Netflix on December 30th and the time we get to record it, maybe this first or second or third week of January, I'm hoping to have my TV mounted. I'm hoping to be able to watch it on a mounted 55-inch television screen, because here's the thing. I already have a TV. I lost the remote. So I just had to spend $6 for a remote. I forgot I had the other TV.
Nice.
Yeah. So I don't need no Philips TV or anything like that. But it's going to be fun. We've got lots of cool stuff coming up for all things Transformers and the rest of the stuff on the Geekcast Radio Network. I guess transform and transcend, and we'll catch you next time here on All Things Transformers.
And if there's something that you'd like to have us talk about, you can message us on the Twitter at All Things TFV3, or you can email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. So until next time, I've been Steve Megatron Phillips, and you've been TFG1 Mike, and... transform and roll out.
Yeah.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.